Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Flannel panel today. I am Cy Kellett, your host. We've got Joe Heschmeyer, apologist, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. And we're all wearing our flannel shirts. When the three of us get together in our flannel shirts, what do? We talk about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. And that is what we are going to do today. I've kind of structured the day today. I've structured the 2 hours. We're going to talk about good news, more good newsy stuff, the first hour, and more cranky, critical stuff the second hour. Because I feel personally that the cranky, critical stuff makes for better radio, so I want to make you stick around for the second hour. Joe, first of all, Joe Heschmeyer, welcome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for remembering to wear a flannel shirt.
It's my pleasure. And I like that you're just laying your cards on the table as a bad person.
As a bad person for making people wait.
You're just like, I'm going to profit off of your discontent.
Yes, exactly. Right. Well, it's we're gonna work our way up to, I'll be honest with you. What we're working our way up to is another National Public Radio quiz. That's right.
We can call it working our way down if you want to.
Yes,
that.
That's actually what it is.
Working
our way down
to
a National Public Radio quiz. Also here, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, in a very fine flannel. Hello, Chris Check.
Cy, it sounds to me as if we're saving the cranky news for the second hour, we don't need Joe until the second hour then.
Joe, take a break. We're going to just talk about happy stuff.
I'll be the fly in the ointment on all of your nice stuff.
Actually, I don't know. We have a mad scientist who works here now, Luke Bender.
Yes.
He is a wonderful mad scientist. Yes. Of
emphasis on mad.
Yeah, we love him. And everybody likes Luke. You can't not like the guy. But he's one of those people who knows how all the technology works. He's a computer scientist. And he's going to get us popular on YouTube. He's going to make us even more popular than we are now. I've told him I would like to be... This is my standard for his success. You two tell me if this is a good standard. I would like to be so famous that I'm uncomfortable in airports. What do you think of that standard?
How about this? So famous that Hallow calls you and asks you to pray the rosary out loud.
I don't know if I'll ever reach that level of fame.
You and...
But, you know, we're constantly thinking of how do we reach a wider audience? How do we share this, what we do here, with a wider audience? And Luke is great at it. But he made a video from our last Lano panel where we did the... we did a National Public Radio quiz that... it was hilarious. I don't know how else to say it. But I don't know if you saw it, Chris. Luke's cut of it. We're not in it. It's all Joe Heschmeyer.
Oh.
It's just Joe.
I like them so much already.
Cracking jokes at the expense of National Public Radio, and they're good. They were good.
I have not seen it. I need to see this.
And
I had a joke I didn't use earlier because I didn't want to interrupt you, but I would feel bad if I didn't try to force it in, even though it's no longer timely.
Oh, definitely force it, Joe.
When
force
you were
it.
Talking That's... about the standards of success, and Chris said they should be hallowed reaching out to you to pray the rosary, I wanted to say, then hallowed be thy aim.
Oh, Joe. Is that a joke? I don't know if that's a joke. I think that's part of a personal problem you have where you can't stop.
Yes, it's a compulsion.
Thinking of puns and wordplay.
Cy, you and I were talking about this the other day, that we think it actually is an affliction of Joe's he's not responsible for.
It's an affliction of Joe that doesn't afflict him. It afflicts everybody else.
It's true.
All right. So the good news. Let's start with some good news if we're going to talk about news of the world. Luke Coppin. And when I say that name, first of all, how do you feel when I say that name, Luke Coppin?
Yeah, I'm pleased
journalist.
That he is doing the work that he's doing. I think it's also the name of a soccer player. Am I wrong about that? Isn't there a Luca Coppin?
Wait, let me go through the list
America.
Of soccer players
this
I know.
This is America.
I have no idea, Joe. Yeah. I'm never going to know.
Yeah. Okay.
Do people memorize the names of soccer
this
players?
This is America.
That's such a fair...
Oh, John Brasillo looks so mad in there.
Do you know what?
He loves soccer.
I told you what my friend said, the best description of soccer.
No.
It's the metric system in short pants.
John is fuming. Don't turn around
honestly,
and look. He is
honestly.
Fuming right now. He loves soccer. Yeah, like you go through airports now. You know how there used to be baseball games and football games playing? Now it's soccer games playing. And it's from places no one's ever heard of. Like, have you heard of a city called Manchester, England? Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I have, and apparently no one would want to go there.
Well, they have a very good kicking team. Whatever, what do you call those?
They
people?
Have a couple. They've got Man City and Man United.
Or what do you call them? They have
squads.
Okay.
Do you know
squads.
Something as obscene as the salaries are for major league players here in the United States?
Yeah,
they're nothing compared to the obscene sums that.
I don't know why
soccer
anyone
players.
Studies. Just become an athlete. What does anybody study anything for? Mm. It's amazing. Like Formula One.
I hope no one is listening to this show.
No, this is a kid's
child discerning their future and saying, oh.
Stop studying, kids. Get out there and play more ball.
Kellett told me to tear my meniscus or whatever it's called.
If you study really hard, maybe you can be an accountant for a sports player and make a small fraction of the money that they make.
You can make 15% of what a sports player makes.
That'd be a lot of money.
It would, right. All right, I almost gave out the phone number. No, I want to get to the good news. I said the name Luke Coppin because the Pillar the Pillar has an interesting approach to journalism. They do what I would call, and I'm using, I think it's called fact-based journalism. It's an interesting way to do it because I think complaining and fussing and having a panel of people with arrested development debating at a teenage level, that's real journalism. But
I don't know if you're trying to attack us personally, but this feels a little close to home.
No, they do a good, and Luke Coppin, I don't know the guy. I've never met the guy.
He's actually from England.
He's from England? I probably just made him mad.
He prefers soccer.
He might know the answer about whether there's a Luca Coppin soccer player.
He probably
would
soccer.
Know.
Maybe he's from Manchester.
Well, Luke Coppin does this weird thing where he just breaks down the numbers, and sometimes it's heartbreaking. Like he did. Do you remember? I know you, Chris, remember this one. A few years ago, he studied baptism rates mm-hmm. in some American cities.
Right, compared to funeral rates or something.
And it was frightening how few Catholic children were getting baptized.
There's another guy who does the demography work for...
Stephen Bullivant, also of England?
Yeah.
Oh, does he... For the Pillar?
Yeah, no. Darren said it.
Say, Darren?
Brandon Hodge.
Yeah. Maybe I'm confused. Maybe I put all this under the banner of Luke.
Well, Luke
and, I'm
Luke and JD are the grand patriarchs of the Pillar, right?
No.
What do you call them?
No. Luke and JD?
Yeah. Ed Condon.
This is the worst conversation. All right, moving on. Let's get to the story.
Condon sounds like Coppin.
Yeah, that's right. Condon does.
Oh, Condon's from England.
No.
Yes.
No, Luke Coppin is from England. All of their bios.
I have
in front
to move on
from
this.
Guys,
this is humiliating our
Condon
entire...
is from Washington, D.C., which I'm fairly sure is in the United States.
No, he used to live
in
D.C.
He
lives in D.C., but he's from England.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I'm moving on now. There was a brief period where Washington, D.C. was England. They owned it in the year 1812.
In a lot of ways,
for a while.
We're still part of the British Empire.
Sure, I heard King Charles is going to make an offer for it. Did you hear about this? Like, there's some news story going around. He's going to make an offer to the U.S. Come back into the British Commonwealth. And I say,
really?
Yeah, I think we should have one condition: get a better king. We'll come in. And I'm sorry, that was mean. I apologize.
Let's go back to our praise of the journalists at the.
Oh yeah, they did the,
at the Pillar.
So Luke Coppin did an article on our.
I hope he doesn't feel pilloried. Anyway,
I don't really like question headlines, but this is an appropriate question headline. The headline is: Are more adults coming into the Catholic Church? I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but. Are more adults coming into the Catholic Church? And what he did was he just showed you the numbers. And I thought it was pretty good news. I felt like it was pretty, I can go. We'll go through it in a minute, but I don't know. What did you two think?
Yeah
it's very promising.
Exactly that.
There were pains to say that these were this was American data.
Well, then they gave the other data at the bottom.
Right.
But yeah, it was almost all American, and
Yes, I mean, I feel like I've noticed this just at my own parish, that the RCIA classes seem a little bit larger.
Well, Darren was reminding me this morning that we've noticed it on the program, that we had a conversation, well, probably 6 months ago, Darren, something like that, that how many people call now and go, I'm in the RCIA or OCIA.
Yeah, we should get that. Do we have an answer to that question, by the way?
The percentage?
No, whether it's OCIA or RCIA.
This is probably what's causing the uptick. People were delaying because they said, I'm not ready for a write, but if it's an ordo, I'll
come
do that.
In. I'm on my way.
I'm assuming that was the last hurdle for a lot of people.
No,
so
I think
glad we solved that.
RCIA, OCIA, it's one of those things where, as a Catholic, you just have to accept some mysteries. It's mysterious, yes. And you just have to accept that.
So, I mean, look, as much as I hate renaming things out of just an inherent conservatism, it is technically true that the right is not an actual right.
No, it's not.
So RCIA was misnamed. And so it's slightly less misnamed now. But it also is funny that they were like, we really need to make this more confusing for prospective Catholics.
We should have just taken the R off then and just called it the CIA.
that'll clear up.
Welcome to the CIA. Yeah,
this is a Christian initiation of adults.
I want to continue the conversation on the other side, but we'll get into some of the numbers, but also talk about what Darren and I noticed about 6 months ago on the show about people saying, I'm coming into the Catholic Church. Well, we'll get into all of it. Let's do that. I'll just hold on. We'll get into all of it right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2004. EWTN announces the launch of the newest addition to its lineup, Sunday Night Live with Father Benedict Groeschel, featuring Father Groeschel doing a little teaching, a little preaching, and taking phone calls. To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Flannel Panel today. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, and yours truly putting on flannel shirts and talking about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. And we got some good news recently from some very fine reporting from Luke Koppen over at The Pillar.
Who is not Ed Condon.
Who's not Ed Condon or any of the other people we named.
Or Brandon
Hirsch. That was probably the most exciting segment of Flannel Panel ever, where we tried to remember the names of people we had heard of once. That was a good bit. But the question that Luke posed is, and he doesn't come right out and answer it. He just gives the evidence. But I found the evidence compelling that he'll dioceses apparently report how many people come to their rite of election. And the rite of election is usually this time of year. It's where the bishop or the archbishop gets together with all of the people in that diocese who are coming into the church that year, either as candidates or catechumens. And so it's the kind of moment before the moment. You meet with the bishop. You have this. It is a rite, I think, the rite of election. I think that's properly called a rite because it's a liturgy, really.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. And the right. It's quite beautiful. I don't know if I've been to a bunch of them because I used to work for the Bishop of San Diego, and it's a wonderful moment for every diocese, but it can also be kind of a heartbreaking moment when there's not that many people there. Well, what Luke did was look at the data. He would say, here's Detroit 2024, here's Detroit 2025, and the numbers look quite promising, really quite elevated in many places.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to focus on the positive or the negative here?
What positive? Let's start with the positive. Let's just try it for a minute, Joe. See how it goes.
This is a sign that in the midst of all of the bleak news and everything else, that not only are people still converting to Catholicism, but that this rate by all measures appears to be going up. And this is a great sign that the people who are, you know, the prophets of despair are too excessive in their harshness and in their condemnation of everything going on in the church.
Yeah. I think that there's someone that we can point to almost 50 years ago in the sort of post-conciliar catechetical desert who made a decision to found an apostolate called Catholic Answers, and I'm speaking of Carl Keating.
Carl Keating, yeah.
And when I mention him here, I don't simply mean the legacy of Catholic Answers, which has expanded dramatically since his day there leafleting the windshields of the Baptist parking lot, but all of the other lay apostolates that have borne fruit in the wake of that decision that Carl made to step out of the boat in faith. And it is all of these, not just Catholic Answers, but all of them, EWTN, Augustine Institute, there are so many that I think are responsible.
Yeah.
It has actually been what John Paul called for in a new evangelization, Pope St. John Paul II, and although there he's specifically speaking of the catechizing of the sacramentalized, nonetheless, there has been an effect here where the laity have responded to this call in a way that I think is unique in human history, certainly in the history of the church, and it's beginning to bear some fruit.
That is a beautiful analysis. I think you nailed it. I think that's exactly what has happened.
Shall we go to the next topic then? Because I don't think Joe's
because
be
Joe
able
and I need to get in the video when Luke cuts this up and puts it on YouTube. But Joe, you did, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to kind of caveat all of our joy. I don't. I mean, just for the sake of
I told
truth
you, I told
and,
you
and
save
nuance.
It for the second hour.
Yeah, second hour is going to be negative hour
well,
today.
We want to hold two things together. There are more people leaving the church than coming into the church by a wide margin.
Yes.
This is a very bad trend. And so what we should see is not, look, we're exploding, we're bursting at the seams, but the hemorrhaging is slowing, seemingly, hopefully. Although we're still looking at two different numbers. I mean, if you want to think about it almost like a balance sheet, I know it's a little bit gross as an analogy, you can say, okay, well, profits are up over here, but are the losses worse among, you know, cradle Catholics? Only if you can kind of compare those numbers, like what's that trajectory looking like? Can you have a sort of balanced view of the overall picture? But I think the solution there is just, okay, well, we're not going to try to solve the overall picture right now. We can say something is clearly going well in terms of outreach to non-Catholics, an area where Catholics have not always been great about, reaching out to non-Catholics and converting and doing all of the things Jesus calls us to do. And so there are definitely green shoots, even if there are still some downward, you know, trajectories elsewhere.
I think Joe's comments here are merit some more consideration. I agree with everything he said, because this is a measure of specifically non-Catholic coming into the Catholic Church.
Right.
And the other measure that Joe mentioned is people who are already in the Catholic Church leaving it, or at least discontinuing their active participation therein. So what are the principal means of outreach to non-Catholics? And these are things that, to me, exist, as I said before, because of the efforts of laity.
Absolutely.
If the USCCB has a formal and effective program of outreach to non-Catholics, I'm not aware of it. Or if the San Diego Diocese does. But I do know that Catholic Answers and all these other institutions, I don't mean to keep tooting our horn, though I believe a lot of great work has been done by the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, by the staff of Catholic Answers. But this is the effect of the faithfulness of the laity working in the apostolate.
But I want to suggest go ahead, Si.
I appreciate that, Joe, because I want to say something that not to correct anything that you just said, but to avoid an error that I think a listener might make here and there. There is not a competition between the laity and the clergy in this regard.
100%. You're totally right. And I'm not suggesting that.
And I want to give an example.
I can't forgive people's sins. There's not going
to
be.
You need to work on that.
There's not. Well, especially Joe's.
See, that's why he gets in the videos and we don't.
Especially
like, knock
Joe's.
It off, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you an example.
I'll be in that video because I set him up there. That was a softball.
That's how you get in there.
77 times.
So, you know, we go out and it's a great privilege to get to go. And I know you both get to do them. You go to the gala for the local Catholic radio network or the Catholic radio station.
Yes.
Just a week ago, I'm in Minnesota they're doing one for Real Presence Radio. In Duluth, Minnesota. Two bishops, tons of priests come to the gala. The bishops are, I mean, they don't just get up and, you know, say, bless everybody in some perfunctory way, but they talk about how this is what we need to be doing. They ask people to give their money. So there's this partnership between bishops and laity in these things.
And Minnesota, by the way, is having a total moment.
Is
right
it really?
Now.
Like I didn't know that.
The Upper Midwest, you've got Father Mike Schmitz, you've got Bishop Cousins, you've got
Hebda,
Bishop Barron.
I mean, Archbishop Hebda.
When you think about
I was there.
There's so much stuff going up in the tundra north. You're just like, can anything good come from Minnesota? And apparently, at least good bishops can go there.
That is not the Bible quote, can anything good come from Minnesota?
That's
close.
It's not even close at all.
Minnesota's the Nazareth of America.
No, oh, is it really?
No,
actually, that's...
No, Detroit would be the Nazareth of America.
Well, but you know, like, but you go like to go to Real Presence Radio or Iowa Catholic Radio or Spirit Catholic Radio or Guadalupe. I mean, I hesitate to mention them because there's so many people doing amazing work. There is a fired up community of people who's all they're trying to do is share the good news with other people. Like they don't have there's no ulterior motives. There's no this is the church in action. This is what the Second Vatican Council called for. This is what. What's his name? Oh, yeah, the Messiah, the Lord and Messiah.
Yes.
What did he say when he said,
go and make disciples
of all the nations? go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, I was just piggybacking on that. What I was going to say is you think of it as three forces working together. You have this role of the clergy, the bishops and the priests, but they have a duty to take care of the already Catholic. And as a result, this occupies, and I think even appropriately occupies, a lion's share of what a diocesan bishop or priest is doing. The second factor are going to be ordinary lay people. And we are commissioned explicitly by Pope John Paul II to go and make disciples. If it wasn't enough that Jesus told you to, John Paul II and Christi Fideli Laici says you go to the laity, that it's not enough to just trust Father's going to do it.
Right.
Because Father realistically can't do it. And the challenge I always give people when I'm, you know, speaking at events and talking about this theme is I say, okay, by show of hands, how many of you have a friend or loved one who is not Catholic, who you know well? And everyone's hand shoots up. And then I say, okay, by show of hands, how many of them are close friends with a priest? And unless it's a priest who has his hand up in the first place, everybody's hand goes down. And then I say, okay, but think about this. Who do they know who is an on-fire Catholic? And it's like, well, it's you. So at the Last Judgment, if they didn't accept Christ, if they didn't become Catholic, it's not Father's fault. He's not going to be the one standing in account for that. Yeah. I'll let you fill in the blank. You know, that's kind of how I present it, because we can so easily slip into a very convenient clericalism where it's somebody else's job. You know, we complain about this with government, you know, people expecting the government to do things they should be doing themselves. We do that as Catholics when it comes to the clergy. And we've been sent to be spiritual entrepreneurs, if you want to use a cheesy kind of economic term. And then, sorry, the third piece, just to make sure it's out there. So that second piece is everybody. You don't have to be particularly gifted. You don't have to be great at theology. You don't have to be great at apologetics. Love people. Share how Jesus has touched your life. Do that. That's going to be 90% of the hard work. There is nevertheless a role for that last 10% where people might have really hard questions. And that is where a handful of people, some priests, but mostly laity, have been called to do apologetics and do the kind of the hard question answering. Don't mistake that for the first 90% because it's not. But this can be an important role in removing certain intellectual obstacles that keep people from saying yes when they should be saying yes. That's what we do at Catholic Answers. That's what, you know, other workers in the vineyard do in that regard. But we should see all these pieces as in harmony one with another.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. This is something that Carl Keating used to say all the time. The age, he would say the bells of St. Mary age is over. The age of go ask Father, that is over.
Yeah.
It's not returning in our lifetime. And thanks be to God. I mean, of course, definitely we want more vocations, right?
Yeah.
We want more vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. But at long last in the history of the church, the laity are bringing souls to Christ.
Right. And doing it like they're not... They're doing exactly what they were called by the bishops to do at the last great council. And we'll talk more about where the success is coming from, give you some of the actual numbers. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, Cy Kellick, Flannel Panel continues right after this. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Deepen your connection to the Church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the Church Fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the Church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, sharing the good news. I mean, every day we try to share the good news, but we've got some good news about the good news. Today, Joe Heschmeyer, our guest, one of our guests, Chris Check, one of our guests. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we're the Flannel Panel. We talk about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. And we're talking about a report, a well-put-together little, I don't know, morsel, like a little snapshot of, hey, this is what it looked like in the church this year. Mostly in the U.S., but also around the world on at the right of election. It was in The Pillar. It was produced by Luke Coppin, who does very nice work, crunching numbers for people who don't like numbers or don't grasp numbers. And I'll give you an example. Like, he just puts Archdiocese of Baltimore. 778 people came into the church, 669 last year. Some of them are wildly impressive.
Vancouver. I know it's not.
That's
America,
the one I wanted to get
doubled.
To. Go ahead. Can you just read what it says there on the Vancouver?
I don't have it in front of me. I just remember that they doubled.
But they doubled, and last year was a record. It was 350 last year. That was a record. They had never had that many, and they doubled it.
I think they have 720 this year.
Yeah.
And so I looked up Vancouver's population. They have like 760,000 people. So you keep this going for, you know, another 10 years or so, and you're going to have a fully Catholic Vancouver.
Yeah, which is, I think sometimes we are, you know, we're jaded in some ways, and we forget that that might in fact be God's plan, a fully Catholic Vancouver. Yeah. Like, we shouldn't act like we're just trying to nibble around the edges of culture. No, we want the whole thing. We want everybody. Come on in.
Yeah, I don't mean to trigger Chris here by mentioning Lincoln in a positive way, but Lincoln fired numerous generals because they kept talking about the South as if they were fighting against a foreign country, and he had to keep reminding them, no, this is part of our country. That's literally the whole point. And so with evangelization, I think the temptation is to say, well, what is the Catholic population of the diocese? And it's like, well, yeah, okay, fine. Sometimes that's a relevant measure. What's the population of humans? Because that's who properly the bishop is tending to, and the priest tends to not just the spiritual care of the Catholics in his parish, but hopefully the non-Catholics as well. And as laity called to evangelize, you know, we're not called, I don't remember who originally said it, I've heard it accredited to a bunch of different people, you know, it was originally about the clergy, that they're not called to be tenders of an aquarium, but fishers of men. And I think we can fall into a similar trap of like, well, this is our Catholic club, let's just keep doing this thing. And it's like, no, you need to be helping to bring all of your neighbors in till the whole world knows the gospel of Christ.
I was impressed with the numbers from France. First of all, I was impressed that Luke spent so much time on France. You know, maybe they have like a really good website in France that he just downloaded all from. I don't know. But you know, the reason I think it's encouraging to see France is there's almost a kind of sadness in the church about France. We know she was the great defender of the church, a nation of states, of saints and Marian apparitions and all that, and had lost the faith, had become a nation of Simone de Beauvoir and all this nonsense of the modern period.
I heard a Catholic theologian once say, if you want to get God's attention, pray in French, because he hasn't heard the language in a while.
It's Our Lady's favorite language.
Is French?
Yeah. Indeed. She's appeared there more than any other place.
Yeah.
Well, to see that places like Metz, you know, I don't know how to say anything with a French accent, so I'm just, is there a better way to say it?
All of the letters are optional, Metz. Is what I've learned. I have no idea.
It's probably you pronounce it charcuterie, but it's spelled Metz, okay? So an 85% increase over last year. Their numbers are an 85% increase over last year. Now, again, this is a snapshot. This is not the end of the story. But to think that the faith is reviving in France, how exciting, how thrilling that's happening. With all the caveats that you gave, Joe, about we've been through a disaster. Yeah. The church has been through a disaster. The disaster is related to the sexual revolution. It's related to our own sin and corruption. It's related to the industrial revolution that sent us all indoors and isolated us from one another, and a million things are involved in the disaster of the church that has befallen the church in the last 70 years. But I guess what I'm saying is, are we seeing some green shoots?
Yeah, I think it's good to not only ask, are we seeing some green shoots, but maybe ask why and where, or where and why. You know, like, it seems like some places are growing much more than others. What's going on in the places that are growing, and what's maybe missing in the places that aren't? And sometimes it's not something you can simply, you know, copy paste what some other diocese is doing, but it can be a good indication of which approaches work and which ones don't.
I'll tell you what, I want to read you guys something from the Gospel Coalition, which are you familiar with the Gospel Coalition?
I am.
Okay, tell me about them, because I'm not very familiar with the Gospel Coalition.
Yeah, it's a Protestant group, and so they, I think they're from it's D.A. Carson and Tim Keller. And so they have they actually often have decent articles, but very much from like a Protestant perspective. So It's often thoughtful stuff, but I find myself disagreeing pretty frequently.
Well, here's the headline from I'm glad you gave us that context, because this headline screams. Roman Catholic apologetics.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen this headline?
I have.
Roman Catholic apologetics is surging online. Intended audience? Protestants. And then an article that's I'll just read you the first two paragraphs, and because I think this is part of the good. This is related to the numbers, yes, from the right of election. In recent years, several notable Protestant converts to Roman Catholicism have made waves online. Influencers like Cameron Bertuzzi of Capturing Christianity, Candace Owens, Joshua Charles, and help me with this, Eva Vlardingerbrook, across the Tiber from various expressions of Protestantism. We've had Joshua Charles on the show several times. What an impressive person. Oh, and Keith Nestor, and prominent evangelical pastors like Ulf Ekman, Keith Nestor, and Brooke Thalander made headlines when they converted to Roman Catholicism. Similar stories are littered across social media, YouTube, and websites like The Coming Home Network. This is in a Protestant publication now. Prior decades witnessed numerous prominent Protestants to Catholic conversions, including Francis Beckwith, Christian Smith, and Thomas Howard. What drives these Christian thinkers to make this jump? Several theories could be explored, but one factor might concern the surprising savvy of online Catholic apologetics, particularly on forums like YouTube. What do you make of that?
I was a little hurt that we weren't singled out, but think about it this way. For decades, maybe if we want to say centuries, Protestants, and not all Protestants, I don't mean to speak universally here, but huge evangelical efforts within Protestantism have been not going after people who've never heard of Jesus Christ, but picking off Catholics from the church.
Right.
I mean, just yesterday I was watching a video of from Ryan at needgod.net, and they were talking about the mission project they have to the Philippines. And it's like, you know, Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim country, is next door. You could go there. But instead, you want to focus on Catholics' interest. And so for decades and even centuries, they've been picking off Catholics with arguments that sound good but are often false. And eventually, somebody picked on the wrong church, and it was Carl Keating's church, and they put a bunch of anti-Catholic stuff on the windshields, and so he created Catholic Answers. But even as the name suggests, this is a response to a provocation. And it turns out the Catholic responses are better than the Protestant arguments. And so Protestants, reading this with a fair mind, are saying, like, wow, I didn't know any of this stuff. I'd been taught you guys believed X, and it turns out you don't. I hadn't realized Scripture actually teaches Y. And so a lot of people read that and start to take Catholicism seriously, and many of them are becoming Catholic.
It's getting harder to not tell the truth about the Catholic faith. It's getting harder to get away with. I spoke with a guy, a wonderful man, who he converted from Latter-day Saints to Catholicism. He goes, this is what he said. The internet is the worst thing that ever happened to Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
Because you can find out the truth. And then he said, the internet is the best thing that ever happened to the Catholic Church, because you can find out the truth.
A point that Joe has made several times here about Catholic apologetics, generally speaking, is that it has – and Todd Aguilera, who runs our press, Catholic Answers Press, makes this point as well. It is a uniquely, even still, English-speaking phenomenon. And it begins in apologetics. And it begins in England. Why? Well, because it's a Protestant country. It's a Protestant country. So the need to defend it, explain and defend the faith in Italy or France, you know, in maybe Germany, there's a bigger demand or something like that. But there's not a big German apologetics tradition. It's mostly English, and then, of course, as a consequence, American. And when Carl began his work, he is heavily, heavily influenced and inspired by the guys at Speaker's Corner with the Catholic Evidence Guild. We even published their outlines. Ronald Knox and Frank Sheed, G.K. Chesterton, Vincent McNabb, and folks like this.
You can go all the way back to Edmund Campion during the time of the Reformation.
Well, absolutely excellent point. And in fact, they the Church of England, or whatever they were calling themselves at the, under Elizabeth at that time, is, you know, they're making offers to Campion to say, you know, could you please stop this, or because they recognize that.
Right.
Yeah. So
some of those offers were a little more forceful than
they
others.
finally made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Right. There's a second thing here that I think is very important, and that is, yes, on that list of folks that you read, you have folks like Joshua Charles, who is superb. There's no question.
Wonderful.
And a first-rate mind. It's been a treat every time we've had him on Catholic Answers. But then you also have people on there like Candace Owens, who is, I'm just going to be charitable, a mixed bag theologically, okay? And I know she has quite a following. Well, and politically, I would say.
Right.
But go ahead. So one of the things, though, that a formal apostolate such as Catholic Answers brings to this, and I think these people in many way are the legacy of an outfit like Catholic Answers, is if Joe is going to say something stupid, then he's got Jimmy Akin to say, okay, well, that was stupid. Don't, you know?
We've all got Jimmy Akin.
Yeah, that's right. Or if Jimmy's going to say something stupid, he's got Tim to tell him. So there is a fraternal quality and relationship among our apologists,
right?
So that the lone guns don't have, and we've seen some of them
who go off the deep end,
and some of them who've been associated with us when they no longer have someone say, "Hey, knock it off." Then they do go off the rails.
I have to go to the break. I know you have more you wanted to say, but I want to say that a very important thinker, William Lane Craig, a very bright man, says the exact opposite of what the two of you are saying. He's a Protestant himself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so in this article, he says, what I think is, it's not a smart critique. He's missing, it's very blind. But this is what he says. William Lane Craig recently commented on this trend. I'm reading from the article in the Gospel Coalition. Many Catholic apologists seem to be more exercised and worked up about winning Protestants to Catholicism than winning non-Christians to Christ. And that seems to me a misplaced emphasis.
That's just a totally unsubstantiated.
That's completely ahistorical. That has nothing to do with history. We'll talk about how that is. We'll make our response video to William Lane Craig right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
A special item on EWTNRC.com this month is this genuine pewter Holy Shroud medal on a 24-inch chain. It features a detailed image of the Holy Face of Jesus modeled on the Shroud of Turin. Exclusive to EWTN, it comes with a pamphlet about the Holy Face and a prayer perfect for Lent. To order, go to EWTNRC.com and search for item number 50170.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Flannel panel today. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check. They put on their flannel shirts. They come in and sit with me, and the three of us form a panel. Because what the world needs is another panel of commentators. That's what this world has been lacking, is panels. But we're responding to a piece. Well, first of all, celebrating the really good news as reported by Luke Coppin in The Pillar. That there seems to be something happening where more and more people are coming into the Catholic Church through the RCIA/OCIA process. And it really does, it's just an early glimmer, but it does seem to suggest that Catholic efforts at actually, you know, inviting people into the faith, that we've been building these apostolates up since the 1960s and 70s, and many of them go far before that. But it does seem that we're having a moment of success in some hearts, and worth talking about. So the Gospel Coalition noticed this trend, that Catholics were doing a good job of spreading Catholicism, And they're analyzing, why is that? And one of the things they come to is this idea that what William Lane Craig said. William Lane Craig, in the article on the Gospel Coalition, says many Catholic apologists seem to be more exercised and worked up about winning Protestants to Catholicism than they are about winning non-Christians to Christ. And that seems to me a misplaced emphasis. He is telling himself a fantasy story right there. Protestantism is, from its founding, an effort to get Catholics not to be Catholic. Yeah. That is what Protestantism is.
Yeah.
Protestantism, right now, its primary mission fields all over the world are in Catholic countries, among Catholic populations. William Lane Craig is lying to himself.
He's a guy who—
That's delusional.
He is a guy who is very, very bright, and as a consequence is blinded by his brightness. And there's just a lack of docility there.
Well—
Yeah, I think a lack of
conversion of heart.
We want every single person in the Catholic Church. We make no bones about that. The only reason we want that, it's because it is an institution, the only institution founded by Christ himself for the purpose of bringing every person, nation, creature, and thing back to proper relationship with God, back to friendship with God. That's why we want people in the Catholic Church. Do we want Protestants? Are we specifically reaching out to Protestants? Absolutely, 100% yes. But do we want every Hindu, every Buddhist, every secular TV commentator, yes, we want all of them, even the people at NPR. Yeah. They should be in the Catholic Church, not for our good, but for their good, because God loves them.
This reminds me of some of that stuff that was popular in the 90s when Father Richard Newhouse was still writing up manifestos with people, and it was, oh, well, we're not going to have sheep stealing. We're going to have a united effort in the culture war or you know, whatever it is. They were, you know, pro-life or something like that. And to be sure, I'm happy to link arms with Protestants in front of the abortuary. But let's not make any mistake, and I think you've said it exactly well. We want everyone to be Catholic.
Yeah, we want.
I would even add to that. So we believe that Christ established one church, and that he wants everyone to be part of that church because he prayed that we'd all be part of one body. Okay, so if that's true, then we're called to bring everybody in there, not to say, "Yeah, Jesus, I agree with you, but I'm going to actually disagree to disagree on this on Protestants. We'll leave them outside." That's not acceptable. Now, the idea like we'll all just do our own denominational thing is a Protestant idea, right? Like Methodists don't think everyone needs to be a Methodist. Baptists don't think everybody needs to be a Baptist because they don't pretend to be the one true church. They can't possibly make that claim. And so what Craig is upset about is the idea that the Catholic Church believes it's the church founded by Christ.
Yes.
That's the whole reason we're having this conversation.
Right.
Now, the second thing I'd say, as Cy already said, it's not as if there aren't entire Protestant ministries that are aimed at targeting Catholics. They exist. And even outside the abortion clinic, Abolish Human Abortion won't link arms with Catholics. And I've been to multiple instances where we were praying outside an abortion clinic, and then the folks from the like fundamentalist group with the loudspeaker, instead of denouncing the people murdering children, denounce us for, you know, praying the Divine Mercy chaplet because it has a Hail Mary in there. It's a totally perverted, and I would even argue demonic, perversion of the gospel, but that exists and it's widespread. And third, I think a lot of people reach Protestants because it's a lot easier to have a conversation because, you know, okay, I can show you this part of the Bible. But if somebody doesn't accept the authority of the Bible and they want to argue cosmology, the number of people prepared to have cosmological arguments with an atheist almost necessarily is fewer than the number of people who know their Bible and can explain theology. That's true of Catholics and Protestants alike. We have more that we can work with to have a fruitful conversation with each other. And so I don't think one needs to wax conspiratorial. Fourth, and this is the last thing I'll say here, I think that there's just a lot of delusional thinking about this. And I'd point you in the article, it points to this Italian Protestant pastor, Leonardo Di Chirico.
Chirico. Hey, the three of us, we got to an Italian pronunciation.
Yeah. Chirico.
We did it. We worked our way through it. Yeah.
He attacks Bishop Barron's Word on Fire ministry as if it's an outreach to disappointed evangelicals.
That's not.
I don't think anyone could possibly watch Word on Fire and think, you know, who Bishop Barron's mostly targeting? Evangelicals. Yeah. Like, it's solapistic. It's crazy. Yeah. Meanwhile,
no,
the guy they're signing,
who did the
who's
Catholics
like
come
lamenting
home video.
Yeah.
Catholics having like responses to Protestantism has an entire page called Vatican Files where he just comments on Catholicism.
Oh, really?
So this, like the insane double standard of like, we're going to attack Catholics, but if you respond to us at all, even in the course of mostly responding to atheists, we're going to act like you picked on us. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Here's what the article says. What are some practical ways Protestant believers can respond to the rise of online Catholic apologetics? Which, again, let's go back to Carl Keating and give him credit where credit is due. I mean, years and years and years ago, he was at the foundation of this movement, which is bearing so much fruit. But among the four things they suggested was not the one that I would suggest of how to respond to Catholic apologetics.
You mean like become Catholic?
Become Catholic, yes. Well, or, like, it's not because we're better people than you. It's not because we're smarter people than you. It's got nothing to do with us or you. It has to do with the person of Jesus Christ who wants to meet you in the Eucharist, who wants to forgive
your sins. And if you're someone who really thinks it doesn't matter if someone's Catholic or Protestant, don't respond to people becoming Catholic then. Be like, that's fine.
Yeah, right.
Like if you're actually indifferent to denomination, I would say number one, our Lord isn't. But number two, if you are, then let people become Catholic and don't get worked up about it.
It's true. If William Lane Craig sees a Lutheran become a Methodist, I don't think he gets exercised about that.
Right.
Yeah. No, right, yeah. Right.
But because it's all mere Christianity. But it didn't follow that principally. Like if someone says, I don't think Catholics are Christians, then fine. You can see why each side would care about that. But there's something that it strikes me as disingenuous about saying like, hey, it doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant, but don't become Catholic.
I will say this, they did a dangerous thing at the end. They mentioned four Protestant thinkers that you can watch on YouTube. And you know why that's dangerous? Because next year, those people might have figured it out and come into the Catholic Church. Again, this is not some form of triumphalism. What are you protesting against if you're Protestant now? What's left to protest against? It's obvious. It seems to me, it's obvious now that you know, after all these years, where the Bible came from. All these lies that have been told about the Catholic faith, worshiping saints or Mary, they've been debunked a million times online in videos that you can watch anytime you want. What are you protesting against? Come back to what Jesus founded. He wants you there because he loves you.
Yeah. I mean, I would even add, like, the four YouTube channels they recommend. It's Gavin Ortlund, who's a Reformed Baptist, who doesn't agree with Dr. Jordan Cooper, who is a Lutheran, who doesn't agree with Mike Winger, who is an evangelical, who doesn't agree with Wes Huff. Yes. I mean, it's four people who don't actually preach the same thing and just saying, like, hey, don't listen to what Catholics are saying. That's like a single coherent theology. Listen to these four disagreeing voices instead.
Right.
Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. And it's like, no. There's error is diverse and contradictory. Truth is united. I mean, literally, Gavin Ortlund's channel is called Truth Unites. Where do you find a church proclaiming a single vision of the truth?
Yes.
And it's just remarkable. Last thing, I know I'm going long on this. Mike Winger is quoted in this accusing Catholics of lying about Catholic teaching to try to get Protestants to become Catholic. And I would suggest the humbler approach is to say, maybe Catholics understand Catholic theology better than you do. And the reason that, you know, the arguments Catholic apologists are making don't agree with your vision of Catholicism isn't because they're lying, but because you've been spreading falsehoods about the Catholic Church.
Right, right. Your vision of it was not true. And one of the things I do love about Trent Horn, I've loved it for years about Trent Horn, but you too, Joe, all these you guys, is this sense that we're not trying to cover up the sins of the Catholic Church. Like we get it. Like if you're looking at the Catholic Church going, oh, I don't want to belong to that. Look at what a mess that's been throughout history. Yeah, that's a perfectly reasonable response. You have to work your way past that. Christ himself prophesied that the wheat and the chaff would grow up together. If Christ himself prophesied, don't look for something better than what the Lord himself prophesied. But I don't, like they go, well, part of this article is, well, in the 16th century, the church needed reform. Like we shouldn't forget that. Yeah, in the 12th century, the church needed reform too, but it wasn't—
In the 21st century. I mean, it's constantly the case. Semper Reformanda is perfectly valid as long as you realize reform isn't— You know, if I say I'm going to reform Catholic Answers and my reform is I leave and form some new group, that's not an actual reform. That's a break. It's like the reformers are not actually reformers. They're not reforming the church. Francis of Assisi is a reformer.
Right,
right.
They're rebels.
These are revolutionaries.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason we don't call it the American Reformation when we broke away from England.
Well, some of these folks that they mention here are just saintly people. I've just loved any time I've gotten to speak with Keith Nepster or with yes. Joshua Charles. I'm going to try to find out more about some of these other.
Bertuzzi. I've done a lot of stuff with him
Cameron.
In the past.
Cameron Bertuzzi.
I know Christian Bertuzzi. Cameron Bertuzzi of Capturing Christianity. There it is.
But and I like that the Coming Home Network got a shout out too, because man, do they do great work at the Coming Home Network. Really wonderful work. And what I would say one of the great byproducts of the work the Coming Home Network has done is they've reminded Catholics how to be Catholic. Like, it's not all about evangelicals when we do these things. They've reminded us Catholics how to be Catholic. All right, we'll take a quick break. That was the positive hour. That was the non-fussy hour. Wait till next hour starts with our National Public Radio quiz on Catholic Answers Live.